Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Raising the Vibration with Sheena Metal, only on LA Talk Radio.
It's Raising the Vibration right here on LA Talk Radio. For more info on the show, we're at raisingthevibrationradio.com. We are at latalkradio.com. I'm at sheenametal.com. And if you're looking for me on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, it's so easy. I'm just at Sheena Metal. Now, of course, the movement that started this radio show, it's called I Am Raising the Vibration of the Nation and the World. We're at IamRaisingTheVibration.com, and we would be so honored if you would join us. It's a movement of peace, of love, of kindness, and of unity, because don't we need so much more of that in the world? Every week on the show, I feature somebody that I love and adore that is really out there working at all times to make the world a better place. And my guest this show is certainly no exception. She is a wonderfully talented spiritual practitioner and spiritual being and just a lovely person. And I'm so excited to have her here. Please welcome to Raising the Vibration, the wonderful Rebecca Haywood. How are you, my friend?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me.
It's wonderful to have you here. I've been wanting to get you on the show for a while, and I'm so thrilled that you're here. Normally, people that do this show are people that I've known for a super long time. I think of everybody in almost a year that has done this show, I've probably known you the least amount of time in this incarnation.
Wow. Well, I'm so honored. And exactly, you're right, in this incarnation.
Right?
I feel that tribe-ness with you, that soul tribe.
Absolutely.
I love it.
Absolutely. So tell my listeners a little bit about you, my friend, about sort of what a little bit of your journey has been to realizing that you're a person who is always in service and a person who has sort of devoted her life to giving back to the world.
Yeah, well, you know, I think like most healers, it was always with me, even from a young child. I've told you before that I was always kind of that weird kid wandering through the woods writing poetry.
Right.
It really came to me when I was in college, and I got the calling to, you know, drop out of school and really pursue my spiritual path. And of course, I didn't know what that meant, as, you know, we never know until we start walking it, what that's going to form into. But it led me to the doorstep of an amazing Toltec curandera, a shaman, Madre Sarita. And she's the mother of Don Miguel Ruiz, you know, the author of The Four Agreements.
Absolutely.
And so, I got this amazing balance of studying with Sarita, you know, the healing aspect, and studying with Miguel, really the healing of myself aspect, healing my own mind and transcending, you know, those stories that keep us small. So it was a wonderful balance working with them, and so powerful and transformative for me. And you know, really, I'm very grateful that I had my own experiences before meeting them, despite being so young. I was 21 when I started with them, and ended up living with them for about 10 years in an intensive apprenticeship. But, you know, I was really glad that before that, I was already called to being a healer and really was just playing with it, you know, it like a child, just playing with energy, playing with healing myself, playing with healing others, you know, talking to the elements. And so it was really great that I had that experience, and then to have these masters really guiding and refining and honing my inherent abilities. So just like you had with your mother, right? It's so amazing to have a true ally and a true mentor that can help you while still allowing you your own way. And that's really
Absolutely.
What I got with Madre Sarita.
Absolutely. And that's really, like you said, that's really what I had with my mother. I joke now that I was the sorcerer's apprentice, like Mickey Mouse in Fantasia. But I really kind of was the sorcerer's apprentice. And I don't even know that she consciously knew what she was doing, because interestingly enough, because of the stories, and I want you to talk a little bit more about that after I say this, the stories that keep us small. You know, she had had such a difficult life, and mm-hmm. never really had anybody that had her back until I was old enough to have someone's back, which luckily for her was a very young age for me because I'm, you know, old in the soul. I don't think that she thought as much of herself as I thought of her. And also I think that she was so in service and she was so about the give back that I think she thought all the remarkable things that made her remarkable were just tools that she was given to do the work. She did. There was very little ego about my mother. And I think that made her all the more powerful because she didn't have any kind of ego. You know, she had these amazing gifts, Rebecca, and she never wanted to do anything. It never occurred to her. She never made a dime off of her gifts. Now, I'm not saying that people shouldn't, because I think she should have. I think she should have opened a practice, not just so that she could have become so that she could have made money, but she could have done so much with that money, and she could have done so much with the notoriety that it would have brought her. She could have reached that many more people. But my mom had almost sort of a Jesus-esque ideology to her, where she really just wanted to kind of wander the world with the group of people that were her sort of her apprentices, you know, some of my friends and mostly me, and just touch people one at a time. She really was not interested in that mass connection, which is why I feel that I was born with the ability to make that mass connection so that finally her gifts could be spread out the way that they should have been. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And how beautiful that you were able to witness that humility, that true humility of true service, you know, and yet, you know, evolve it into a place that could honor itself and honor its own expansion. You know, I mean, I certainly was cut from that cloth and am so grateful because, you know, Madre Sarita insisted that I charge clients out the gate. And she was so cute about it. She said, "And you're not allowed to charge less than I do, because then you'll be a competition." She was very much a businesswoman when it came to her work. And that was so beautiful for me to witness, because I saw that it did not, for not even one ounce, did it diminish the service that she was providing, you know. And I saw how it allowed her to serve more people because of that income, you know, because she was able to feed her family, keep the roof over her head, keep a beautiful healing space in her home. She was really able to help so many. And, you know, I think it's something a lot of healers struggle with, that aspect of money. And I still give it away for free. I still do. And I'm working on it. I'm getting there, Sheena.
Yeah, me too. I give it away for free a lot more than, me too. I mean, with everything in my life, with art, with all the services that I do, I believe that you should do as much. And this was something I did get from my mother. For everything you charge for, you should do as much for nothing as a give back. And I really, really believe that. I mean, my mom even believed, you know, you have a child, then you should adopt a child. Like, she really believed that for everything that you make and have, that there should really be, you know, there should be a give back with everything. And she used to always say, you should put 10 times into the world anything that you expect to get out of the world. And I love that. I love that I learned all of that from her. But she thought I should go on and make money at things. She just, it wasn't her thing. Towards the very end of her life, right before she got sick, I went through a phase where I was trying to gather investors and psychics and healers and start a brick and, well, first an online and then a brick and mortar spiritual center, which I still am planning to do, but now I think it will happen through the Raising the Vibration movement. But when I was trying to put Angel City Spiritual Center together, and, you know, someday I will, I said to her, I'm not going to do this unless you're one of my counselors. And she said, okay, I'll do it. She said, I'll do it. You're going to have to tell me what to do, but I'll do it. But it took her till she was, you know, almost 80 to say yes. And I think it was just because she realized more and more as she saw me go on my own journey, how important it was to reach people. And you know, and also, you know, that generation, you know, my mom was born in 1933 in Kentucky. I mean, you didn't just wander around in the South in the 30s saying, I'm a psychic. You'd wind up in a mental hospital or swinging from a tree.
Yeah, definitely different times. And that's what's so beautiful about the times that we're in.
Absolutely.
Folks are really open. They're not just opening. They are open, you know, to receiving and to discovering themselves. You know, and that's my mission. It's not just to be the healer or the mentor for others. It's, you know, that they may become that for themselves and then pass it on.
You know,
that was one thing that Sarita, when she asked me to carry on her lineage, it really wasn't about me. It was about me carrying that on to others, passing it forward.
Absolutely. You know? Well, and it's about, it's also about kind of just taking ownership of your own power. I hate to use the word power, but I can't think of another word. You know, you like my mother are a Scorpio, and Scorpios like to do things in secret. You know, I'm just going to wander by and heal you without you knowing. I think that's beautiful. That's one of my favorite things about Scorpios. But sometimes you have to fight that nature to be secretive. And because you have to realize that by not making it a secret, more people can get helped. And luckily, it didn't take you until you were 80 to figure that out.
Right. Yeah. And luckily I bumped into Betsy Chaffee, who's pulled me out of my little cave and pushing me into the light. And I just love her for it, you know, because, yeah, it absolutely goes against that.
Betsy's yanking us all out of the closet.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'll just heal you. And I do supermarket healings all the time, you know, drive by healing.
Yeah, exactly. And me too. And because I'm an artist, I have many opportunities to heal people through art. So I'm very fortunate that I have that advantage. But sometimes you have to really, you know, throw out your shingle so the world knows you're there. And especially, I think, in the tumultuous times we live in now, the world needs to know you're there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a...
Yeah, it's true. It's true. They do. And with all the platforms that we have through social media, to put ourselves out there and to land in somebody's living room who maybe can't afford to come to a workshop or a journey or have regular sessions with me. It's such a wonderful opportunity to serve them. And, you know, that's the one thing I'm finally ready to step into, that doing the Facebook Lives and all of that. And it's all because of one student who actually has been listening to the radio archives from our shows together. And she just said, wow, it's just been so helpful. Like, you just totally changed my week listening to that show. And that was the ticket for me
awesome.
To kind of go, okay, I can be a little less shy about these videos and get my out there, because it isn't about me. It is about them. And that was the one piece I needed, that piece of service, to make it okay to this little Scorpio.
Well, and I have a lot of practice being the Scorpio's apprentice and taking their teachings and showing them to everyone. So stick with me, kid. I'm really good at that. I'm the Scorpio whisperer.
I plan on it. I feel very much that our meeting was a long time in the making. So I'm happy it has arrived.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I absolutely feel the same way. How are you feeling about the world now? I know that's a really weighted question, isn't it? But, I mean, we're in an interesting place in the world. We're in a very interesting place in our country. And I think it weighs on a lot of psychic folks, a lot of folks with gifts, a lot of empathic people, as we both are. So how are you feeling about, because a lot of people feel very defeated, and it makes me sad, Rebecca, when I go on Facebook or Twitter or wherever, and I see my fellow spiritual practitioners saying things like, oh, you know, we're effed and we're all going to hell in a handbasket now. And because I think the world is looking to us to tell them that it's going to be okay and it's not over. And we need to think positively. You don't want to go to somebody who you look to for spiritual guidance and then see something up that says, oh, yeah, our president's ruining it all, so better build a bomb shelter. I mean, I just feel like even if that's what you think, and even if you and I need to call each other and be like, oh my God, privately, publicly, it's not good. It's not good for people who are supposed to be working in the light to be talking about the end of the world.
Yeah. I hear you on that. And, you know, I just have a sense of trust. I mean, as you know, that's kind of how I've lived my life, is with that sense of trust in spirit and in the perfection. And despite it being the perfect bumper sticker, right, spiritual bumper stickers, you know, of trust in the perfection, you know, it's never been wrong for me in my life, in my little world, and in the larger world of the entire planet. That, you know, how many times have anybody that's listening, how many times have you in your own life faced something that in that moment felt like the worst luck, right? The worst luck. And yet, as you walked through that moment and got through to the other side, there was a gift, a lesson, a teaching, some kind of evolution of your own life or someone else's life near you that it impacted, that you wouldn't have received if it weren't for that challenge, that change, that moment of discomfort. You know, then suddenly we go, oh, wow, what good luck I had, right? But it's true, and that we do quickly forget when we're in that moment of facing the challenge, you know, that, you know, to have that trust that there is some kind of perfection in this. And maybe we can't see it right now. You know, maybe we don't have the eyes to see it right now, or the result isn't here yet, but it will be. And trust in that, you know, with everything going on politically right now, what I see in the perfection of it is how it is really igniting people to take action. It's pushing us as a people, as a populace, as a we the people, out of a complacency that we've kind of slipped into, right? You know, as Americans, we have it very good. We have a lot of freedoms, and yet we have also been, you know, very complacent in allowing or really exercising those freedoms. And so now that some of those freedoms are being so blatantly challenged, and just the way of being, you know, human, how to be a human 101, even that courtesy is being challenged, you know. So I think it's beautiful because it is inspiring people to step out of that complacency and take action. But I do agree with you that it's very important that as people feel that inspiration, right, it may come as that kind of fire of anger, right, and that reaction. Take some breath before you act directly out of that reaction. Take a moment, vent with a friend, whatever you need to do to process that reaction so that then you can come into a new movement of an action that is coming from that place of which you want to create, right? As long as we're in that energy of rebellion, then whatever it is that we're rebelling against, we're actually feeding, because that's where our attention is. That's what we're reacting to. So we're actually bringing a bit of that energy into our forward motion. But if we take a moment, we take that pause, we process the reaction, and then really step into a new intent, a new intention, then that's what we'll be creating. That's what we'll be bringing to the world.
Absolutely. I 100% agree with you. And I also really believe that, like you said, there's a complacency that we've developed in a lot of our first world countries. And we are learning now not to have that complacency. And we have, unfortunately, I will speak only about America because I've never lived in another country. Unfortunately, as Americans, we have a tendency to criticize even people that we believe in that are trying to help us. Like, oh, you know, I voted for this candidate, but let me tell you all the things I hate about them before anything else. Like, people preface things with, well, before I tell you I voted for so-and-so, let me tell you what I don't like. I think now, because a line has really been drawn in our country, Rebecca, between light and dark, we're sort of having now to rally behind people that we believe are doing the right things for our country and for our world. And not having this kind of coming out the gate with criticisms as much. We're coming out and supporting people that we on both sides of the fence. People are really supporting those people that they really believe in, instead of starting everything out the gate with a criticism, as sometimes human beings can do. And I think this had just become a country where, I mean, look, our late night talk shows, right? Some of our biggest rated shows, the beginnings of them are a monologue where they make fun of everybody. I mean, we somehow have routed ourselves in a very strange way, spiritually and emotionally, as humans and as Americans, as humans first and foremost, because it happens all over the world, where, you know, everybody that we put on a pedestal, we also have to be constantly metaphorically punching in the face and knocking off the pedestal. And those are things that, like we talked about earlier with maybe you and I calling each other and going, oh, this world. Those are things that we need to have those discussions inside our heads, and maybe with our dearest friends if we have those concerns. Maybe we don't need to have that discussion in front of millions of people. Maybe everything doesn't always have to be this attitude of, ugh. Because I think that the problem is that everything that you say falls on other people. Every opinion that you have now, because of social media, right? It's not just like you're going to tell 10 friends and they're going to tell 10 friends. Now every opinion that you have is going to be shared with a lot of people, and you don't know who it's going to fall on. And before you type something out and hit send, you have to think about what you're doing. And I think now, maybe because everything has become so polarized, that what's going to be sort of, you know, the beauty in this is that people are going to stop putting sarcasm and cynicism and you know, wanting to be the smart alecky one who makes fun of everyone, even people they believe in, and are going to start actually thinking, well, I better pick a side, and I better start standing behind people that are trying to do for this country and this world what it is that I believe in. And, you know, the interesting thing about the balance of light and dark is that darkness has always done that. People that live and walk in the dark, do you know what I mean? It's that whole, you're going to have to take this gun out of my cold, dead hand thing. I mean, they go for it with gusto. And sometimes those people that claim to walk in the light are like, oh, yeah, like, I just want to love everybody, but everybody really sucks. And I just think that we've come to a point now where, you know, as my mama so eloquently used to say, we better poop or get off the pot. Because it's now becoming our freedoms and our lives and our the way that we live and our existence and how we are allowed to think and feel and what media we're allowed to take in. I mean, it's getting to the point where we're going to have to start to stand up for what we believe and not just kind of sit around, you know, with a remote in our hand on the couch thinking, yeah, this country, ugh, I don't know. You know, so maybe that's the good that's going to come from it. And, you know, it's interesting because I'm a huge fan of American history, and when we were still British owned and we were colonists and we came out here, we could pretty much do what we wanted. The British didn't really know. You know, we sent some money back, but they didn't know what we were making because it was such a long boat trip. And we kind of were living in the Wild West, literally, just doing whatever we wanted, but also enjoying the safety of belonging to Britain. And then when the screws got put to us, it's when we had to think, okay, what are we going to do now? Are we going to live under this oppression, or are we going to be free? And it's almost like we're in the same kind of place again, where the time has come to decide what we're made of and whether or not we're going to fight for the kind of life we want to live. And I think it's a good thing, because I think complacency amongst humans is not a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that movement, you know, of politics that's happening in the outside world, you know, it's a reflection of what's happening on the inside, you know. And if people can really, instead of just looking to the outside and pointing fingers, you know, look at, you know, why is this manifesting, and how is this manifesting for me? How am I actually a part of this?
Yeah.
You know, is there a Donald Trump that lives in me?
Yes. Yes.
Or whatever, you know, I actually wrote a blog years ago called Politics of the Mind. And yeah, I just walked through, I used the political structure of our government as an analogy, as a mirror for the structure of our mind, you know, and how to really kind of tune into your own internal politics, right? And who have you elected as president in your own mind? And making different choices with that kind of awareness. So it is really, I do think, a huge wake-up call for people. And, you know, you spoke about the light versus the dark, and, you know, that the dark does tend to be unapologetic, right, with that gusto. And, you know, I do hope that this inspires those who are in the light to kind of step out of that it's all good mentality, which I definitely see that happening, but to take it a step further, to be, you know, to turn up the light, to turn up the fire, to not be afraid of words like power, right? You brought up that word earlier, and you said, I don't know, I don't like that word.
I know.
Well, why not, right? Why not? What is wrong with power? We're not necessarily speaking power over other. We're really just speaking about that self-possessed power, right? And when we're in that place of really owning our power, then yes, that truth that we are, that light that we are, gets to shine that much bigger, you know? And it's so important that we get over these things, that we, you know, really take a look at our practiced humility and question that. But why? Is that really truly humble of me to hide in the closet and not share myself with the world, right?
No.
To shy from words like power, to shy from my own power, to stay in some story of smallness so that I can feel like really I'm truly still in service because I'm small, because I give it up to somebody else. You know, power doesn't mean that we are, you know, enacting something over another, because we really don't have that kind of power. Each is unto themselves. And even with my clients, with my students, I can't do it for them. I can't force something into them. You know, really all I can do is call out what is already there and show them the door, but they have to open it. You know, and so power, this word, is so misunderstood. And like you said, in that realm of those walking in the light, we really do tend to shy from that. And it's such a shame. So I really hope that people can get over themselves in that word and start giving it up and start walking with that same gusto, you know?
Yeah, it's an easy word for me to use about someone else. It's a hard word for me to use about myself. And I think a lot of us feel that way. I mean, I'll be the first one to tell you that my mama was a powerful mofo. I mean, that woman was, she was power. But I think she would never have told you that about herself. I mean, she walked into the school and the teachers cowered. And not because she was mean, but because she was smart. Like, if there was a teacher that was a bully, she would have one conversation with them, and that was the end of it, because they didn't want to go up against her. And and so I think, you know, she was a hero to children when she was a teacher, and when she was a parent, she was a hero to children, because kids who felt like they had no voice knew they had a voice in her. So I always thought of her as incredibly powerful. But I think if you had asked her, she would have probably first given you 10 things that she was insecure in, places that were her weaknesses, before she accepted the word that she was powerful. And I think I have a lot of that, too. Right. And also, you know, I'm Irish, and we're taught to have pride but not be proud. And I'm also a Northeasterner, and we're not taught to be boasters. You know, you're a New Englander, too. You know, we're not raised to boast.
Right.
We're raised to go out and shovel the snow and shut up. You know, we're not, it's not a place where you're supposed to flit around and talk about how powerful you are. So I just think that it's taken me a while to come into terms with that word. And I'm working on it. You know what? It's nice to have a movement like IamRaisingTheVibration.com, because I can let it have the power, and I can just be the founder of the power, and I can just be the parent of the power, and I don't have to talk about how it comes from me all the time. because I do think the movement is incredibly powerful. But most of my vibrational counsel will point out to you that, you know, that came from you. I'd be like, shh, let's just talk about how it's the movement. So, you know.
Well, you know, it is. It's so true how easy it is to credit another, you know, to really recognize and to see that in such a beautiful way in other people. And yet when we look in the mirror, that practice humility steps in, you know. And
I remember
it was Don Miguel's son, Jose Ruiz. He gave the most beautiful assignment one time to, you know, those prayer candles.
Sure.
He said, I want you on your altar, you know, buy a prayer candle, but I want you to put your own photo on it. You know, glue your own photo over Jesus or whoever's on your candle and place that on your altar. You know, and it was just this beautiful practice of, you know, one, of course, there was immediate discomfort of myself being this, you know, idolizing myself, so to speak, right? There was immediate resistance to that. And yet it was so beautiful because what kept coming was, well, why not? You know, why not? You know, regardless of religion, right? And deities, you know, in the spiritual realm, deities, there were people, humans that walked this planet that we worship, we can recognize their power. You know, why not make that a practice for ourselves to hold the mirror up and recognize our power, own it, you know, let it come into you and experience your own power. Of course, it's connected to everything and everybody else. Of course it is. You know, that goes without saying. I know for me that as I made that practice, it pushed against my ego. It pushed against that small little Rebecca that wanted to hide out in that, you know, in her smallness. But it pushed against that, and I reached through it to this other side of really discovering faith is like another way for me to say power, you know. And faith is just that force of creation, you know, that causes life to bloom, causes a rose to bloom, that causes us to move, to speak. You know, it's just a beautiful energy of creation, and that's it. And so why would we deny ourselves that ability? Why would we need to shy from that? You know, it's really quite silly and actually kind of selfish. You know, it was one thing that I realized as I was hiding out, not stepping out into the world, sharing my services, I realized that it was actually selfish to keep it to myself. You know, it's a gift, and it's a gift that I was given. And part of really honoring that gift and receiving that gift is to pay it forward.
I completely agree. And I did a lot of the same thing. I realized that it was selfish of me to hide my gifts, especially when everybody was trying to drag me out of the closet. And I was like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. After a while, it just got ridiculous, you know, and it just seemed ridiculous after a while. And I thought, you know, okay, let's see what this is. And I had always used my gifts. I had just used them in a very covert way through art, you know, through media, but I hadn't actually talked about them. And part of it, I think, was because my mother did the same thing. That's how I was raised, you know, use it, don't brag about it. And another reason I think is just because I didn't want to be another one of those people in this town, Rebecca, that's, oh, and I'm an actor and a writer and a producer and a director and, you know, a circus clown, a ballerina, a fire chief, and a psychic. Like, I just didn't want to be, because I think some people use their gifts as ego. And I never want to be a person that comes from a place of ego. But I think because of that, in my life, I have been a person who hasn't come enough from a place of ego. And I've sort of learned how to find that balance. Because you need to use your ego for things. It's that you have it for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like a sense of authority, you know. And again, it's not authority over. It's just authority. It's just presence, like, you know, and to give ourselves that permission to be that presence is a huge gift that we give to the world, let alone, you know, to ourselves. So, you know, and I think, you know, you were speaking about that kind of humility and, you know, how, you know, as an Irish woman or from New England, we have that kind of a politeness, right? That sense of propriety. And I think that one thing, no matter where you're from, that we all have kind of been domesticated into is this practice of like, it's not my business, right?
Absolutely.
It's not my place, or it's not my business. And who am I to say, right? These are some of the voices that we've been trained with. And, you know, one thing that Miguel said to me one time, he said, sweetheart, you might be their only chance. And I really hadn't thought of it in that way. I mean, that even those words felt very lofty, like I was somebody's chance, somebody's opportunity. But what I realized as I sat with it was that, yeah, I mean, why not? You know, if it's none of my business, if it's not my place, then the words that I share won't be received. The light that I bestow onto another, that I invite another into, then it won't be received and game over.
Sure.
You know, but at least I made my effort, right? At least I made my effort. So yeah, I think there is that we have to get over the polite side of the light, and find our brass, you know?
It's an interesting thing. And I'll tell you a story that's kind of strange. So in the entertainment business, I was the same way for many, many years. No, that's okay. You take it. No, you take the credit for it. No, I don't care. You need to put my name on it. And then I wondered why I wasn't moving forward. And so for many years, I was associated with a person who was very narcissistic and lived only for themselves. And I don't ever, you know, would never profess to say that I would suggest to someone that's the way to live, because I wholeheartedly don't believe it is.
Mm-hmm.
But for all of the difficulties of being around this person, the thing that I learned from it was sometimes you have to take credit for your own stuff. And, mm-hmm. you know, I would write a bio and then I would give it to this person and then they would give it back to me. And I'd be like, oh, my God, I want to kill myself. The things that are being said about me, like I'm so special and I'm this. And I just it worked and it changed my career. Because people don't want to give things to somebody who's acting like, oh, you know, I might host a radio show, but I'm not that great, and don't look at me, and just don't look at me. So when I went to start this movement, I was immediately doing the same thing. And I'm just going to, it's going to be all about the movement. I'm just going to be completely anonymous. And then the lovely voice of divine guidance, right, Rebecca, that comes to you all the time, said, what in the hell are you doing? Do we need to teach you this lesson again? A movement needs a face, and the face is the founder, and you are the founder. So either put your face on this thing or find somebody else to be the founder and to be the face of it. Make them the co-founder and put their face on it. But somebody's face has to go on it. And, you know, we think it needs to be you. So
right.
I did it.
Yeah.
I started putting, when I wrote something, I started crediting myself and putting founder next to it, and then putting the movement name and putting the website. And in the beginning, I just literally sat in my house and cringed myself to death for like the first couple of weeks. And then I got used to it. But you know what? It's true, because each of us has our own very specific energy signature. And each of us has something that we give to the world. And that's why the universe put us here. And for whatever reason, this is my thing. This is why I'm here. Nobody else could do this specific thing that I'm doing, because this is my thing. And, you know, when I first started working here at LA Talk Radio, and people would come work here, and then they would, because they were a year old when I got here, 9 years ago, then they would try and go off, oh, I'm going to host a show for a couple weeks, and I'm going to go off and host my own station. And I would always say to my station owner, nobody will ever be able to copy what happens here at LA Talk Radio, because the magic of LA Talk Radio is in your soul and your energy is in this station, and nobody can copy it because nobody can copy you. But it took me a while to take my own advice that I would give to other people, which is, you know, if something is yours, credit yourself. I mean, you don't have to be obnoxious. You know, when I write something for the movement, it doesn't afterwards say Sheena Metal, founder and greatest human on the earth. I mean, you don't have to be obnoxious, But you do, right. It is okay to take credit for what you've done. And it's okay to let people know you're out there, because everybody has a special thing about them that makes other people want to take interest in what they're doing. And people need you. You know, if you're a blogger or a vlogger or a writer or a radio host or a podcaster, or you do a web series, or you do Facebook Live, or, you know, you make memes. I mean, whatever it is, it's okay to put your name on it, because people need to identify with you. If we're not all identifying with each other, what is the purpose of all of this? And people need people to look up to. There are so many people I look up to. Even those who are looked up to by others also look up to people. You know, we need people to look at and think, God, what gets me through the day is I get up in the morning and I read this meme from every day. I go to this person's site and read their meme. And it literally, that's why I can get up every morning. I mean, we don't realize how much each one of us plays into the harmony and serenity of the whole, Rebecca. And I think people need to think about that and look at that more.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I look at, spirit and what's happening in the world, you know, not just now, but for all eternity that has been happening in the world, is that, you know, spirit, life, God, whatever you want to call it, it is creating its own balance, right? You look at nature, right? And nature balances itself out, and it is self-healing, right? And so spirit is attempting to strike the balance again here, right? And striking to maintain that balance here. And so it's going to be asking for a particular energy, a particular message, a particular voice to come forward, you know, a movement to step into being. And, you know, spirit is pretty impersonal in that, you know what, if not Sheena, then somebody else, right? If not Oprah, then somebody else, right?
Sure.
It's not personal to you or me or whomever is the one that decides to step up and say yes and be that voice or be that healer, be that light. It's not personal to us. But it is an invitation that life spirit has made, and we just happen to be there and hear that invitation and say yes to it. And if it isn't me, then it'll be somebody else. And that's kind of where I maintain the humility, is that, you know, it's not special to me. My gift, yes, I am that spiritual snowflake, but if not me, then somebody else. And that's where I maintain that humility. And, you know, and make that choice to say, well, you know what, I enjoy this. As long as I'm enjoying this and it makes my heart sing, then I will keep saying yes. I will keep pushing through those doubts, through those fears, and through those stories of smallness, so that I can keep saying yes and showing up. And however you want to use me, life, spirit, like, here I am. You know, here I am. And so I do. I think that everything that's happening, people are getting these invitations, these very strong callings. And sometimes they come with a 2x4, right?
Absolutely.
So we'll hear them. Yeah, just to get our attention.
Well, I think
But guess what? Go ahead.
No, finish your thought. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, if we're listening, then that 2x4 isn't needed, you know, and that's where the journey can be a little more graceful. Just keep listening.
Yeah, I think for the essential survival of the species and of the universe, there's got to be a backup plan. I mean, if you're like a recruiter for a football team, or you're casting a film, you can't say, look, if we don't get this one person, you know what, screw it, we're just closing down the team. There always has to be backups, because the universe needs to keep moving. And sometimes people don't step into their destiny on this earth. People say no. Mm-hmm. You know, people, like you said at the beginning of the show, people get stuck in the stories that make us small and refuse to say yes. And so, yeah, so the universe definitely needed Oprah. But if Oprah had said no, they would have had a line 20 long of Oprahs that slowly but surely could have popped into that spot. They might not have been Oprah, because she may have been the first pick. or, you know, or maybe she wasn't. Maybe she was, maybe there was another person who was supposed to do it and went, yeah, I'm just going to have a kid and I don't want to talk to anybody. And yeah. I don't want to be Oprah. That's a lot of responsibility and I don't want it. And they're like, okay, well, let's go find Oprah too. There's Oprah. Come on, Oprah. I mean, it's, you know, because the universe isn't going to shut down because you decide you're not going to do something. But at the same time, I think it's important to feel special. It's important to feel like the universe has picked you for something. Because I think sometimes, Rebecca, people don't put enough stock in how much the universe, and when we say the universe, of course, we mean source, higher power, God, whatever you want to call your higher power. People underestimate how much I think we are loved by God and how much we are favored and how much we are looked after and how much there is a special plan for each of us, and we all have a special destiny that's just for us, or for the next 20 Oprahs if we choose not to do it. But do you know what I mean? I mean, I think that people sometimes forget that, and that makes me sad. And I think also in the New Age community and in the metaphysical community where we mostly live, because there is that biblical connotation of, you know, God made us special and God only likes us and doesn't really like the angels and doesn't care about the animals. People rebel against that ideology, that biblical ideology. But this is not a biblical ideology. This is a universal ideology. We are loved and cared for by whatever it is that you want to call it that oversees the universe. And the universe really has our back. And I think just that alone stops a lot of the hopelessness that can seep in this world, because this is a teaching planet. This is soul school, and stuff happens here because we wouldn't learn if things weren't always happening. And there has to be something that you lean back on to think, okay, well, at least I know I'm taken care of, and at least I know it's not all for naught. And then I can push through this particular batch of crazy.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You know, that what you were talking about honoring, you know, versus staying in that, those stories that keep us small, why not choose to tell the story, you know, of your power? You know, I can remember, I was invited, this was towards the beginning of my career as a healer, and still very much viewed myself as a student of Sarita's. And I was invited down to Tecate, Mexico, for an earth dance, you know, Native American celebration. And they had asked me to be one of the healers in the healing tent. And, you know, I showed up it just with no bells or whistles, no healer's costume, just, you know, my tank top, my skirt, my flip-flops. And that's how I learned to heal. You don't need anything, you know, just show up. Here you are. And life will provide the tools that you need. Well, you know, I stepped into this healing tent and there were all these very impressive looking healers with headdresses and crystals and making chants. And, you know, my doubt stopped me in my tracks. And I was like, literally, like, didn't even quite take the first step into the tent before I had spun around and left, because I said, I don't belong here. You know, that practice story of the small Rebecca, of just the little suburban girl raised in Lexington, Mass, you know, it was like, I don't belong here. Not only am I not that powerful, but I'm too white, I'm too young, I'm too whatever, or not enough of those other things, right? We can have a story about what spirituality looks like, or what a shaman looks like, a healer looks like, a light worker looks like. And so often that image of perfection doesn't include us. You know, so it's really important that we take a look at those stories that we have and tell a new story. And that's exactly what I did. I, despite turning around and not walking into the tent, I at least caught myself. I heard that story of doubt, of smallness, and I said, okay, mind, you want to tell a story? Fine. Then let's tell a story together. And I took my cute little butt up into the desert, found a lovely rock to sit on next to a cactus. I closed my eyes and I just started dreaming, you know, imagining, meditating the story of Rebecca the Healer with a capital H. And it wasn't so much that I changed any of the details of my life. The facts remained, but it was that I went into a recapitulation, a remembering of my life with those eyes of, this was Rebecca's journey into becoming the healer. You know, this, it was like me claiming my own lineage. And it was so beautiful. It just allowed kind of the movie of my life to play through these eyes. And these moments that I had forgotten about as a child, as a teenager, as a young woman, those were my moments. Those were moments of life tapping me and saying, hey, check this out. Look at what you can do with energy. You know, hey, look, you know, just these little moments that were showing me my power or calling my power out of me. And by the time I was done with this exercise, this meditation, I stood up and walked back down into the celebration and into the healing tent. And I have to say, I felt, you know, 100 feet tall. Like it was just this empowerment and this sense of place within myself.
It's absolutely beautiful. It's so important, right? I mean, that's, and we all need to do that. Sometimes just take a minute to self-evaluate yourself and realize how amazing you are. I mean, people don't do enough of that. We spend a lot of time working on the things we still have to work on. Can you hear my finger quotes whooshing through the air, Rebecca? But we don't spend enough time taking stock in how amazing we are. I tell friends of mine who are actors, singers, you know, out here feeling frustrated, you know, the whole artist, oh my God, I'm never going to work again. The phone's never going to ring. I don't have this. I don't have that. I don't have this. And I say, you know what you need to do? You need to go to your imdb.com. You need to go look at your resume. You need to see everything that you have done. And then you need to take 10 deep breaths and calm down, because you cannot focus constantly on what you don't have. Sometimes you have to just focus on what you have and what you've done and look at yourself as an amazing person. You know, sometimes when people, I'm at somewhere and I run into somebody and they want to talk and they know who I am and they start spitting things out at me, and I think, I actually sound kind of groovy when somebody else talks about me. I mean, I think we all go through that, right? Where we don't realize how we look to other people. And that can be in a good way or in a bad way, but right now we're talking about good ways. We don't realize how groovy other people think we are, because we're too busy focusing on all the places where we're not there yet. And sometimes you just have to sit on a rock and listen to your own story, maybe even as told by someone else. Let the universe tell you your story of you. They'll tell you how amazing you are. And really right. Get a sense of, wow, you know what? For all the things that I know I have to work on, look at all the things I've done right. And look at all the ways that I've helped and influenced people, and look at how I've helped the world, and look at how I've made people smile, and look at how I've been good at this, 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 and this. And then you can sit down and have your, you know, well, here's some things I have to still work on. You know, it's called pros and cons for a reason. You're supposed to look at the pros first, and then you look at the cons. But sometimes we're very, you know, obsessed with where we're not yet and what we haven't done yet. And, you know, you'll say to somebody, so how are you doing? What's been going on with you? And it immediately comes out, well, you know, I'm still working on this, and I still don't have a relationship, and I still don't have this. And wow, that's not okay. Well, what about like, what, how, wow. What about the things that you've done? What about what's amazing? So,
It's true. You know, we're so trained that it's like, you could hold up a white cloth in front of someone that happens to have a speck of dirt on it, and what their eye is trained to notice, what their mind will notice, is the speck of dirt, not the white cloth. You know?
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful analogy. You know, we are that big. We are bigger than even our imagination can dream. And yet we focus on ourselves as that speck of dirt of what is wrong, what is stained, tainted, marred.
Absolutely.
When we are so much more. And you know, it's okay that, you know, you're mindful of that speck of dirt. It's good to know what we need to work on, right? That's self-awareness, and that's evolution, right? That's what we're here to do. But to have your attention in both places at once, as, you know, the grandness of what you are, the all of what you are, while also being mindful of those pieces and parts that need a little tweaking, a little shine, you know, put on them. And so I think there's a way to be in both places at once and, you know, play that self-awareness game of peeling away the layers and the beliefs that don't serve while being aware at the same time that you are not those beliefs to begin with. You know, you're not this body. You're not this story. You're so much more. And to me, that was part of my journey. It was like both the unraveling of Rebecca, you know, kind of a death process of Rebecca and a birth process simultaneously, really a birth of something that was always there. It was more an awakening to what was there, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, when I ask you, what are you working on? I don't mean like, what are you working on? Like, what problems are you still trying to correct? I always think like, what are you working on? Like, what's good? Like, I've got to hear what's good. But I come from that place, you know, I'm an Aries where we live in a place of positivity and we're strange little zodiac babies. I mean, you can poke me in the eye with your finger and I'll wake up in the morning and be like, oh, my eye's a little sore, but it's a brand new day. I forget sometimes that not everybody comes from that same place. You know, some people dwell and hold on to things and worry about things and oh, wow. I mean, it can be, you know, and as I said, I had a Scorpio mom. Scorpios hold on to things. Scorpios have a little secret file where they, with everything they're holding on to from the beginning of time. And I think maybe I even, in addition to just being a crazy Aries, I learned to be the other way because I saw how it only made my mom unhappy to hold on to things. Now, there are things... Mm. You know, we all have a list, right, Rebecca? There are things that I hold on to just a little bit. But it's not so much even with me just holding on to. It's because I'm so, you know, my favorite thing. It's kind of like, you know, that thing that's on the internet that I love, what a cat thinks and what a dog thinks. And the dogs is like, oh, a bone, my favorite thing. Oh, a walk, my favorite thing. Oh, I just got pet on the head, my favorite thing. And the cat's like, it's been 4 million days since my imprisonment. It's kind of the same thing. Like I'm the dog, most definitely. And so I have to have a list in my head to remind myself of places I don't need to go again. Because otherwise mm-hmm. I'll be like, oh, whatever happened to so-and-so? And I'll start thinking of all the good things about them. And then once again, there'll be a finger in my eye. So, right. You know, I have to protect myself against my perpetual positivity. Which, you know, and also my perpetual positivity sometimes is quite annoying to people. You have not yet been annoyed, but as time goes by in our friendship, you may decide that you're annoyed by it because it's...
Most likely not. I have to say, despite the Scorpio stars that I was born under, I really worked hard to be one that could let go. And I think as you've noticed in me, I have that, you know, everybody has that light.
Yes.
And I just see that in everyone. And so I can't imagine for a moment that I would get tired or sick of your positivity. I think I will feel right at home.
There is some positivity. It doesn't take a lot. You know, it's funny. My best friend is a Leo and is Irish. So, you know, she struggles with all the things that Irish struggle with, the broodiness and the melancholia, and certainly I struggle with that as well. So we were both just having a real grumpy people week, and we were on the phone and we were talking about like you know, Rassen having our Yosemite Sam moment. And I went into a grocery store and I ran into this guy I hadn't seen in a long time, maybe a couple years, and he was so happy to see me and I was so happy to see him. And then he had these beautiful little, he makes bracelets out of crystals, out of stones. And, you know, I'm looking for different things that people make that we can put on the Vibration Vortex, which is our movement store. And I said, oh, my God, you should make one in our movement colors. and then we'll sell it on the store, and then we'll put a link to your business. And literally, I called her because I was on the phone with her. I had to get off when I ran into him. I called her back, and I'm like, oh, my God, so exciting. I ran into Garrett, and he makes these bracelets. And it was like everything was gone. It was all like it just takes one thing to shoot me back up into the happiness wonderland. And I wish I could give that to everybody, because I know for some people it's hard to get there. And I feel very, very fortunate that I have that bounce back. But just, you know, one little drop in the glass that is half full, and I'm completely a happy camper until the next, you know, devastating, hard thing happens. But then again, I will lift myself right back up again. And I hope that through coaching and counseling and some of the things that I'm going to do through as part of the movement, that I will be able to impart that wisdom and maybe teach some folks how to have more bounce back. Because, you know, I wish I could tell you that the bad stuff is going to stop happening, but it's a teaching planet and it's never going to stop happening. But I can tell you that we're always going to overcome it, that every time you fall down, you'll rise up again. And I mean, even the final rise, right? Even if the end is really the end of this incarnation, then it's the ultimate uplift of all, because you get to go home for a while, and that's fantastic. Well, you're always in a good mood. Yeah. So, you know, it makes me sad that people can't find that in themselves. And it makes me sad, we were talking earlier about the state of our nation right now. It makes me sad that people sit there and they're glued to the news. And everything they see, whether it's something that hasn't happened yet or whether it's something that sadly has happened, it wrecks their entire world. And, you know, it's still Christmas. Santa Claus is still going to come. With still Hanukkah, the candles all got lit. And they'll get lit again, and Santa will come again, depending, you know, because no matter what's going on in the world just keeps turning. You're going to keep having a birthday, and people are going to keep loving you, and you're going to keep laughing and smiling, hopefully. And I don't mean to negate any of the horrid things that we witness, but there has to be a reset inside of us, right? Or what's the purpose of being here for 100 years?
Right, exactly. It's you know, another part of the kind of human mind domestication to hold witness to suffering and to suffer for it. You know, it's like somehow we have some sort of guilt that as long as there's suffering going around in the world, that I need to be somehow experiencing and feeling that pain as well. And, you know, there is a certain amount of emotional experience with compassion, with empathy, right? But let that be the jumping off point, you know, as you put it, bounce back, but bounce back into some sort of action, some sort of intention that is bringing the light, bringing healing, bringing what we want to see and create in the world. And, you know, it's okay. Just because they're suffering doesn't mean that we have to sit there and suffer with them. You know, that's not true unity. You know, it's, you know, when one bird gets tired at the front of the flock, you know, another one takes over at the front. And so, you know, maybe life is asking that of you, to take over at the front and to be that beacon of light, you know, to break the winds for everyone else for a time.
Which I think feels really good.
Hang out at the back.
Yeah. It depends on who you are. I like to be right in the front. I will take the bugs in my teeth. Like I am happy to be the one that everything hits first to protect everybody else. Not everybody wants that from their life, and that's okay too. You know?
Yeah.
Everybody wants something different, and that's why everybody has their own unique, specific purpose on the earth. And that's what makes the earth beautiful, is that everybody has a place.
Yeah, it's true. We all have a place. We all have a voice, and we need to use it. You know, our word is our power. You know, as Miguel teaches, it's how we cast spells with our word all the time. And are we going to play with white magic or black magic? You know, are we going to play with the light or the dark?
That too.
And what are we believing with our word? So
yes.
Use your word. Speak up. but be so mindful, you know, or I should say, and be so mindful of what is coming out of your mouth and where it is coming from.
Yes.
It's not so much about the words you choose, but where are they coming from? Are they coming from that place that is joining in with the suffering, you know, or are you coming from that place that has a message to help that suffering change, you know, make a shift? You know, it's like the pain in the body, you know, when your body experiences pain, pain itself is the body's messenger to say, hey, we need the white blood cells over here. You know, we need help over here. So if all we're doing is just meeting the pain with more pain, then we're not healing as a planet, right? We're not actually calling on, we're not becoming the white blood cell that life is asking us to step into being, you know, for the planet. So, you know, that's how I look at it. When I see suffering in the world, yes, do I feel it? Do I have the compassion, the empathy? Absolutely. But I use that as the jumping off point for, okay, and now I hear you. I hear the message. I've received the call. The planet is asking of me. And so here I am with my prayer. Here I am with holding vigil for those people. You see? So I think that this is the thing that why people feel so helpless or hopeless in the face of all these things happening in our world right now, is because perhaps they have forgotten that what they're seeing, what they're witnessing is a call to action. And now it's time to take the action. And using our word, being so mindful of where that is coming from and what are we creating now? Are we creating more suffering and pain, or are we creating an opportunity for healing?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I completely agree. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're right back with more of your wonderful and beautiful wisdom, my friend. I thank you so much for being here. More with Rebecca Haywood right after this. It's Raising the Vibration right here on LA Talk Radio. During the break, if you would visit us at IamRaisingTheVibration.com, boy, I'd sure be honored. This is a word from some wonderful causes that I believe in, and then we'll be right back with you with more of the wonderful Rebecca Haywood right after this.
You're listening to Raising the Vibration with Sheena Metal, only on LA Talk Radio.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Larry Russ, former keyboardist and vocalist for Iron Butterfly, and I'm here to tell you about that abuse is an epidemic in our world. Abuse has many forms, spousal and child abuse, sex and human traffic victims, and sexual abuse. Musicians Against Abuse wants to do something about it, and you can help. Contact maabuse.com. That's maabuse.com. Join me and let's do something about it. maabuse.com.
Alcohol-related harm affects us all. Everyone knows someone who's been touched. Alcohol-related harm ranges from lost jobs to serious mental and physical disease, from ruined family life to property damage, from violent crime to homelessness, death, or prison. Go to alcoholjustice.org and sign up for action alerts and e-news. Then you'll be ready to add your voice to many others when it's time to call for action that will reduce alcohol-related harm.
Guitar, an amazing instrument. It has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro, and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. So join me 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 11 p.m. Eastern Time at www.latalkradio.com on Channel 1. And let's explore All About Guitar.
When was the last time a song made a difference in your life? If you're a songwriter who would like to help the victims of the recent hurricanes, your music can make a difference. By offering one song download for just $1, you can help bring aid and hope to those in need. To find out more information and join songwriters Michelle Mangione and Grace Slick in this effort, please visit writersforthestorm.com. That's WRITERS forthestorm.com.
As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
When Debbie Fragner gave birth to Maddie, she imagined a world of possibilities. But when her daughter was diagnosed with cerebral palsy, a neurological condition that impacts a person's ability to move and maintain balance, she had to adjust her expectations. Cerebral palsy affects 1 in 323 children in the U.S. While this diagnosis may limit Maddie's physical abilities, it doesn't limit her ability to dream. Maddie is now 9 and has a dream to dance, which inspired the creation of the Children's Cerebral Palsy Movement, a nonprofit dedicated to the design and funding of innovative therapies that address not only the physical challenges of these children, but their dreams as well. As part of their Community Giving Day program, Whole Foods Market will donate 5% of net day sales to our movement on June 15th at their Tustin location and June 22nd in Newport Beach. Your purchases on these days will help further our cause. For more information, please call 714-746-4085. That's 714-746-4085.
Hi, my name is Michael Vaccaro. I have a groovy web series called Child of the 70s with some really groovy people in it, including Bruce Valanche, Jerry Jewell from The Facts of Life, Ted Lange from The Love Boat, comedian Judy Tenuta, Carolita White from Laverne and Shirley, Ann Walker from Sordid Lives, Amy Linka from Square Pegs, Gina Heck from Mork and Mindy. We have Johnny Hazard, Leo Forte, Terry Ray, Chuck Sekula, and LA Talk Radio legend Sheena Metal. I play this guy who idolizes a 1970s TV star, but then he gets a job as her personal assistant. You know how they say that you should never meet your personal idols? Well, you know, you can find us on YouTube, Funny or Die, Out TV, and you can also go to our website, www.theofficialchildofthe70s.com. It's groovy. Hey, did I say that already? Yeah, it's groovy.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
California legislator sends Bill SB 524 to Governor Brown to protect youth against institutional abuse. This bill would regulate residential programs notorious for abusing, attempting to convert LGBT youth. Let's be the change. Every child deserves to be treated with dignity and humanity. Stand with a Los Angeles LGBT Center and SEIA organization against child abuse. Support SB 524. Go to PYIA.org and let your voice be heard.
Did you know that healthcare institutions provide arts programming for patients, families, and staff because of their healing benefits? Shorter hospital stays, better pain management, and less medication. Believe in the art. Go to www.mvcaf.org and click the donate button on any page. Support the Moreno Valley Cultural Arts Foundation.
I'm nice to everyone, and some people don't treat me with the respect I want, but I tell them that's okay. They don't care what you guys think about me. I'm perfectly happy being who I am, and I would not change for nobody else, because God made me the person who I am today.
We ask questions and we get answers. NAsks.tv.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Raising the Vibration with Sheena Metal, only on LA Talk Radio.
It's Raising the Vibration right here on LA Talk Radio. We're at RaisingTheVibrationRadio.com, LATalkRadio.com. Social media, I'm just at SheenaMetal.com and also at SheenaMetal everywhere. And then on the movement that started all, it's called I Am Raising the Vibration of the Nation and the World. That's a mouthful, right? And we're at IamRaisingTheVibration.com. And soon, when our nonprofit status comes through, we will be at RaisingTheVibration.org. And if you want to go there now and see the site being built, it's fun. I like to go watch things being added to it, and I'm very excited. The site's going to be beautiful. And it's purple, and all things are better when they're purple, right? The wonderful Rebecca Haywood joins us all this show. It's a delight and an honor to have you here, my friend.
Well, thank you. I'm so happy to be here. And I have to say, I am a purple fanatic as well.
Right? It just told me that was the color. Isn't that interesting how, everything with this movement, I believe when you're in your right place and you're on your right path, everything becomes almost effortless. And everything with this movement has been so completely serendipitous. And the amazing people that have come on board to help me with this. It really does. It takes a village to raise a movement. And it's amazing to me how beautiful and generous and genuine and soulful people have been. And it's just made the entire project effortless. So I can't play hangman because I can't draw the stick figure. Like, I have zero fine art ability. And, right about the time the movement was starting, my best friend, L.A. Weiss, who I was talking about earlier with the grocery store story, she met a wonderful new friend that she was crazy about. And I told her, we need a logo for this thing. And boy, do I suck with that. And she said, you know what? My friend Diane, I think she does graphic art. So I emailed this poor creature who doesn't know me from Adam and said, oh, I just started this movement of peace, love, kindness, and unity. And we need a logo. What do you think? And she said, I'm in. And basically sent me some stuff to look at. And I mean, she sent me 6 different prototypes for a logo. And every one of them, eventually we'll use all of them for something. We use 2 of them now. Every one of them was so gorgeous and like she had just pulled them out of my soul. And that was kind of the beginning of it. And then I realized that everything needed to be purple. And there was already purple in the logo that she had created. So we just added a little more purple. Purple was really my mom's color. Maybe that's why. Pink is kind of really my color. But the movement wanted to be purple. And you don't argue with the movement, right? So...
Yeah, I love that. I love how the allies come, when we are on our path. Yeah, beautiful.
Oh, yeah. And I'm very lucky that this beautiful city that I love so much and the wonderful energy that's here and the wonderful people that are here, that I have amassed such a beautiful tribe of humans. But the ones that came, the ones that I pick for the council are just the right ones to be on the council. And the ones that are on my board are just the right ones. And the ones I'm building our advisory board. And it's turning out to be just exactly the people it's supposed to be. And every once in a while, I look at somebody that I know and I think, should I have asked them to be on the Vibration Council? And then I think, no. I picked just the right people. So
yeah.
I just consider myself to be so lucky that I have so many wonderful, as a matter of fact, one of them is in the studio right now, but you can't hear him because he's very stealthy, because we're doing a broadcast of my daily show at 5 o'clock today with a bunch of the council. And so he's in here setting up the video for it. Our wonderful videographer is here. So they're all around me and their stealthiness, and they're so amazing because I'm always kind of a one woman show. Like, I could do it all myself. I'll just pull this refrigerator up the stairs. And it's nice not to have to do everything yourself. I think part of coming into that place of power, like we were talking about earlier, Rebecca, is knowing when it's time to ask for help.
Yes. Yes, and being willing to receive it.
Yes, yeah. And that means taking other people's suggestions and other people's ideas and being open to things that maybe you don't know about, and you're probably certainly dealing with that right now under the tutelage of Betsy Chassie.
That's right. Yeah. Big time. Yeah. We're doing a whole new website for me. And, you know, it's just, it's such a great process. And I've always, you know, designed my own websites, my own marketing stuff, which has been pretty nominal thus far. And it's just so great to have another person and to let them see me with their eyes. And she's just a genius at that, of really recognizing, kind of like you, of recognizing the light in someone.
Yes.
And the message that he carries.
She is.
And saying, ah, yes, we need and want more of that. And so I'm going to invite you on my radio show.
Sure. Yes.
It is. It's on my end. It's a beautiful process of surrender. You know, allowing the creation to kind of take its shape. And so it's really exciting to see it all coming together.
Well, then she brought us together, which I love. I love her even more for that. And she was, incidentally, the second guest on this show when we first started in January. Right. Uh-huh. She was my week two guest. I put together a very short list of the people that I wanted to be on the first four episodes. And everybody that I asked, I got. And because everything comes the way it's supposed to come, right? And, you know, in the beginning, nobody knew what this was. I had been doing a politics show for over 5 years here in the same time slot that had sadly had a crash and burn after the election. And I didn't want to just let it die, but I didn't want to get another co-host and continue to argue about politics. It's just my heart was no longer there. I was devastated about the country and the election and my mother being dead. And I thought, God, if I'm going to do this, I want to do it. I want to do something that's going to be for the world. So I went to my station owner, who's amazing, as we talked about in the last hour. And I said, I don't want to do politics right now. And he said, I think it's probably a good idea to give it a rest. And I said, I really want to do is, can I keep the slot? And I want to do a show about giving back and what people are doing for the world and how people are feeling about spirituality and politics and sociology and what we can do to all get along more. And I want to do it in the name of this new movement that I started. He's like, okay. I mean, when does that ever happen? So here we are, this little baby. This was the first outreach from the movement. It was the very first thing. And I could not be more proud of it. Now we have a wonderful cyber outreach on Facebook. We're at thevibrationnation.com if you go it forwards to our Facebook group. And we started that on October 29th, and we are almost 9,000 strong there now. How about that?
I know. It's amazing.
It's like a house of fire, isn't it? It's just building like mad.
Yeah, well, you're really resonating with what people need right now. So, you know, I love it. I'm a part of the group, and I love tuning in and seeing the various posts, and it's so inspiring. It's exactly, the movement that you advertise it to be, that peace, love, unity, and kindness.
Right.
You know, that's what you find. I love it.
And it's everything from an animal thing to, here's my friend's, GoFundMe for his medical bills, to here's a great vegan recipe I got for something, to, hey, I'm going to a full moon workshop. Who wants to come? Like, it's such... You think about the world of giving back and of kindness and of love and of being in service. And sometimes you forget like the enormous amount of topics that it encompasses. I mean, it's everything from social justice stuff to spiritual stuff to humanitarian issues, to animal issues, to different people's lifestyles and things that celebrate them, whether it's, you know, LGBTQ, veganism, spirituality. I mean, it's just, to me, it's so beautiful. And most of the people on there, I don't even know. And I'm like, who are you? And why are you so beautiful? Please, thank you for joining us. That's going to be my next post on there, Rebecca. Who are you and why are you so beautiful? Thank you for joining us.
I love it.
Blown away every day with the beauty that I see in everyone. And I am, and every day I meet somebody amazing like you. Like, who knew you were coming into my life? I think my mom sent you. She was like, you know what you need is a Scorpio best friend. And here, take this one. I like her.
Well, I think your mother has impeccable taste.
She did. She thought she had impeccable taste as well. She would have agreed. But that was kind of the one thing that was missing from my life was that I didn't really have like a best Scorpio girlfriend. And I don't know why. I always wanted one. And then here you are. So, yay.
Yeah. Lucky me.
And you know, Scorpios like other Scorpios. So my mom always, every time I'd say, oh, I met a new friend, or I met somebody I'm going to date, she's like, oh, is it a Scorpio? Like, no, Mom, it's not a Scorpio. Other people are okay too. So what are
I love how,
I'm sorry?
I love how open the movement is that you've created, and the group and the content and everything, how open it is, because that is, to me, what spirituality is. You know, you said, you know, that I must be going through quite a process here as I'm kind of coming out of the shaman cave, and Betsy's pushing me into the limelight a little bit more with the book, Dancing in the Unknown, and all of that.
That's right.
It's been so great. But, you know, it's so interesting as I look at this, because I've always been very nonchalant about marketing myself. It's just been whatever it is. Well, you know, there's a mentality out there of choosing your one client and speaking to that one client, of like finding your niche, you know, getting into that specificity of, you know, the pressing problem that you can solve. And, you know, I'm sure it's a magic formula that does work. But for me, it's been such a challenge to really even think that way, because like you, it's everything is spiritual. Everything, every issue, no matter what, how small it may seem, of a quote unquote problem or an issue in a day-to-day existence, you can take any one thing and elevate it, learn from it, and evolve through it to, you know, the highest level of spirituality. And so that's been one of my things, and I'm so grateful that Betsy, she says, no, sweetheart, broad strokes, you are whatever you are, you know, and we don't necessarily have to define the one problem you solve, because that's what's cool about you, is that you can take anything and see it, view it through those spiritual eyes. And I feel like that's the heart of true spirituality, is that that open heart.
Yes.
That looks at all of it, looks at the whole picture, you know.
Yes. Everything is spiritual to me. Even people who aren't spiritual are spiritual to me. One of our Vibration Council members, one of my best friends, is an atheist. And I kind of tell him he's atheist plus, although I don't know he likes when I tell him that, because he believes in energy and he believes in psychics. And I'm like, well, that's okay. But you know, I'm learning a lot from him about the way that atheists think. And I even look at them spiritually, which I don't know that they would appreciate. But my spirituality has always sort of been the captain of my ship. Not everybody else is like that, but for me, it all boils down to that. So when people say, is the vibration a spiritual movement? Well, yes. I mean, for me, it is. It's a spiritual movement. And from a nonprofit status, it's a spiritual movement. But I didn't set it up to be just spiritual stuff. Really, after starting it the day of that we got a new president, I thought it was going to be, when it started, I thought it was going to be much more of a social justice movement, which I think it will turn out to be that in many ways, and it always has been that in many ways. But I think as it develops, it will branch out and we will find the social justice places that we belong. But because it's me, of course, it wound up being spiritual. I mean, I think, you know, when you start something like your spiritual practice, Rebecca, or, you know, the events that you do, or your writing and your blogging and your writing and Dancing in the Unknown, the Dancing in the Unknown book, it all has your distinctive energy signature. And my energy signature is extremely spiritual. So when I start something, that's just how it winds up being. I mean, even my radio shows, the non-spiritual ones wind up being spiritual. It's just everything kind of has your little bit of your juju in it. And mine is, you know, my juju is woo-woo. So it's nothing I can do about it. But I love that people contribute things on both the IamRaisingTheVibration.com site and the VibrationNation.com site that are not necessarily spiritual, because it's something that personally resonates with them and it will resonate with somebody else. As a matter of fact, like I was saying, my best friend, L.A. Weiss, who's on my board and on the council, obviously, because she's my sister, she is very into vegetarian and vegan things. I am not. And one of my friends, Christine McCarthy, who's a wonderful actress and has been on my radio shows many times, has a vegan web series now that she does. And I don't know that I ever told LA about it. And then LA's one of the mods on the group site, and she saw Christine's post. She was like, oh my God, I knew she was an actress, but she makes these amazing recipes. And I had sort of forgotten. And I was like, oh my God, that's right. Christine is an amazing vegan cook. So now LA has become sort of a fan of Christine's vlog and watching her shows and getting recipes from them and things she wants to eat that she can eat. So isn't it fun when people connect that you don't even know are going to connect in your world? That's truly priceless.
Yes, and that's the unity that we need. You know, in the midst of all this polarity, we need that unity. And to me, what I call spirit is that union between all things, no matter the form, light or dark, spirit unifies them all.
Yeah.
And so I love that. I love that connection. And I love, you know, the social justice aspect of the world right now. It needs that unity. It needs the many voices contributing to how we're going to reform ourselves, you know, as humans, you know, as a culture.
I absolutely agree.
So I love that.
And it will find its way. I mean, I have a lot of personal social justice causes. I don't want the movement to just be everything that I believe. So slowly but surely, the movement will find the causes that it believes in. But I always say any cause that has our cornerstones, right? Any cause that's about peace, love, kindness, or unity, that I'm in. And I think whether you're an evangelical Christian, you're hardcore New Age, or you're an atheist, we can all agree that the world needs more peace, love, kindness, and unity. Those are not partisan words. Those are not secular words. Those are just words that every human being should want that for the earth.
Yes, right? Like the spiritual salad bar that we were talking about.
Exactly. I can't believe we haven't talked about the spiritual salad bar at all. But yeah, that's sort of my belief system, right? Spiritual salad bar. But isn't there also, there's a social salad bar and there's a political salad bar. And I guess I just believe in all of those ideologies. For me, the salad bar belief is what I have, that you take the things you like and you leave the things you don't. And you don't have to toe a certain line. You don't have to believe in everything somebody believes in if you vote like them, or everything somebody believes in if you're a part of a social organization that you love. Just because you love what they're doing, you don't have to believe in every single thing everybody believes in. You make your own way and you find your own beliefs.
Right. And that's what makes you such an effective and amazing conduit, because of that openness, that receptivity that says, yeah, talk to me, tell me.
Yeah.
You know, learn me, you know. And I love that about you, that you can really pull different mindsets together, different voices together, that in the end find out that they're not so different.
No. And that everybody has many sides to them. You know, my council member JP Morgan that I was talking about earlier, who's the atheist, he for many years was involved in the evangelical church. And so I ask him questions about what it's like to be an atheist, and I ask him questions about things in the Bible I don't understand, because he knows the Bible back and forth. He'll tell you it's all a myth, but man, he knows that thing way better than I do. So he's kind of my Bible consultant, and he's my atheist consultant at the same time. But that's what's beautiful about people, right, is that each one of us has our own set of things that we believe in and love and have faith in and are interested in. And we're all different. So the more you're around other people, the more you learn and grow by being exposed to things you didn't know about.
Right, right. And isn't that the heart, the key to true receptivity, you know, to have that openness of self and really to kind of part with the singular self and open to those complexities, those nuances, those alternate voices and ways of being and seeing, and being willing to experience something other than ourselves and something other than what we think we already know.
Absolutely.
You know, to me, that's true receptivity that allows us to receive completely and then to transmute that receptivity into an act of creation.
Absolutely.
You know, manifest something new.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But also, I think there's a responsibility that comes with, like we talked about at the very beginning of the show, Rebecca, once you start making your opinions known. Once you step into a place of being a voice, then there is a responsibility to sometimes to speak in accordance with the things that you are, to practice what you preach in your life. Mm-hmm. And I have found that from a social media status and from a public, when I do public writings, that I have to remember now that I'm the vibration girl. It's funny because all the while I've known Betsy Chassie, she always laughs about, because she directed What the Bleep Do We Know? Great, now I'm the bleep girl and everybody expects me to do this. And I, every time I think about something and think I'm the vibration girl, I think about Betsy and I laugh. But now I've become the vibration girl, which means that can I have a bad day personally? Can I call a friend and be like, oh my God, you know, what the frackety frack? And, you know, rassin, frassin, rassin, Yosemite Sam. Yeah. But when I sit down in front of a computer and I post something, it's going to go out to the world. I'm the vibration girl and I'm setting an example. And I can no longer set the example of, hey, look how funny and nasty I can be. It's just not
right.
That part of my life publicly has left. And I'm okay with that. Yeah. I mean, I still have a crazy sense of humor and I say irreverent things on the radio a lot. But there's a certain kind of cynicism and shock jockey kind of talk that I it's no more for me publicly, because when you're trying to, you have to practice what you preach. It's so important.
Right. And at the same time, which is something I think you do beautifully, to share the vulnerable moments, to share the doubts, to share the journey of transformation, you know.
Sure.
That's one of the ways I teach with my students, with my apprentices, is that, you know, it's through stories of my own life. You know, and I know, you know, I've gotten the feedback from them of just how much they appreciate that I'm not pretending to somehow no longer be human. Because let's face it, no matter how enlightened we become in our lifetime, we are still having a human experience. And to me, the true enlightenment happens when we embrace our humanity and our divinity equally. So I feel that it's important for messengers, to be mindful of what we're creating and putting out there, but to be honest about it, because otherwise we're all striving for this image of perfection around spirituality that, you know, doesn't really exist. It's not really the way of being. It's not really even achievable. As long as we are in the human body, we will have a human experience, and really we will have both of the human and the light. You know, and that's something that I love, that I got to live with Sarita for 10 years. I mean, heck, we shared a bed together, you know?
Yeah.
So I got to really see, this amazing, powerful shaman woman who was also very human, very much a woman in the world, a mother, you know, a sister. You know, she had her journey, her human journey in life. And that was the greatest teaching to me, to see how she took her spiritual awareness, how she applied the light to her human experience.
It's beautiful.
You know, I think that's what we're really here to do. Yeah,
I agree. Absolutely, we're here to do that. I mean, I think too, I remember once having a conversation with my mom about what evil was. And I said to her at the time, maybe evil isn't killing somebody. Maybe in some instances, killing somebody is justifiable. Maybe true evil is spending your entire life on this planet and not ever doing anything for or sharing anything with anybody. To just be completely alone and selfish, and it's all about what comes back to you. Maybe that's actually what darkness is, you know? I just said there was justifiable homicide, so I'm sure I'm going to get some complaint letters from my woo-woo friends. But maybe there are instances where it's okay. Well, if somebody's coming to kill your family and the only way you can stop them is to shoot them, maybe that's okay. But maybe it's not okay when there were a million opportunities where you could have helped another human being and you chose not to because you only cared about yourself. Maybe that's darker than sometimes even committing what we consider to be a terrible act, you know?
Right. I mean, anything can be medicine. It's just, you know, how we apply that medicine and where we apply it from. So, you know, it's true. Anything can be medicine. And, you know, life doesn't happen without death. you know, creation doesn't happen without change, without the destruction that we experience in the midst of change, you know. So it's all hand in hand. It's all reciprocal, you know. So I hear you. I'm sure you are going to get some complaints on that comment.
That's okay.
But I hear you.
That's okay.
I'm smelling what you're saying.
I know what I'm explaining to you. You're a Scorpio. You know, it's okay. People don't have to always agree with me. That's part of the beauty of life, right? Sometimes people can think you're absolutely, I'm sure there are people that think I'm absolutely full of crap and they still listen to my shows because they're interested in my perspective, even though my perspective is not their own, just as I'm interested in others' perspectives that are not my own. But I do think it's evil to live solely for yourself. I mean, whether or not you think justifiable homicide is okay, there is justifiable homicide, still you may agree that there is something very dark about only caring about your own existence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
You are amazing, my friend, and I thank you so much for being here. Where can people find out about what you're doing online?
Yeah, so my website is RebeccaHaywood.com. And you can find me on Instagram and Facebook as Shaman Sister. And please check out my events because I've got a great teleclass coming up in January. And then an amazing journey to Teotihuacan, Mexico, to the pyramids down there, where we're going to be playing and having fun with fire, a beautiful ritual that I learned from Madre Sarita. So come one, come all, even if you don't call yourself a healer, you will gain so much from this journey. It's really an amazing, amazing week. It's actually a 9-day journey this time.
Wow.
So it's really going to be a true immersion. Yeah.
It's wonderful. That's so wonderful. I thank you so much for being here, my friend. You mean so much to me, and I'm honored that you would be a part of the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I can't wait to do it again.
And you will always come back on my shows, I have a feeling. If you missed any of those links, Raising the Vibration Radio, LA Talk Radio, I'm at RaisingTheVibrationRadio.com, LATalkRadio.com, I'm at SheenaMetal.com. Social media, I'm just at Sheena Metal everywhere. The movement is at IamRaisingTheVibration.com. Please join us. I would be so honored if you did. And here are some things you need to know. First of all, thank you to Rebecca Haywood for being here because she's completely amazing. Thank you to all of you for listening. We wouldn't have a show if it wasn't for wonderful guests and wonderful listeners. As you approach your week, and until I see you again next Monday from 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific time, always think in terms of peace on earth. It may not happen tomorrow, but it may happen someday, and you have to keep that in your heart. Always, always live in love. It's the best way to live, and it's so important. Lead with kindness. Always lead with kindness. And always think of humanity as one human family. Think in terms of unity. Even when it seems there's no unity, keep thinking in terms of unity because we are more the same than we are different, and we are one. Thank you so much for listening. I love you all, and I'll see you next week right here on LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Raising the Vibration with Sheena Metal, only on LA Talk Radio.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.